The Language of Courtly Love, written by Winged Dreams and read by Eos Rose. The first time a banquet appears on Merlin's bed, it's Gaius who identifies the flowers as purple lilacs. But it's Gwen, sparkling with hidden laughter, who tells him he has a secret admirer. She explains the floral language of love that everyone in the court of Camelot understands. Everyone except Merlin, of course. Wary, he leaves a bundle of lavender on his bed for his pursuer to find. It means distrust, Gwen says, but sometimes devotion. Not that Merlin wants to send mixed messages when he hardly suspects who his admirer might be. Soon Merlin warms to the game and spends hours plotting his replies with Gwen. The banquets go back and forth, chrysanthemums and jonquils, a demand for attention, returned with white violets of modesty. Gwen thinks Merlin shouldn't be too bold, not when he has no idea who is sneaking into his bedchamber. He receives an apology of daffodils for respect and unrequited love, so leaves chestnut and daisies tied with string, innocence, and an invitation. He tells Arthur about the flowers, laughing it off and expecting the prince to feign astonishment that anyone would ever leave his hapless manservant flowers. Instead, Arthur goes quiet, and something about the way his gaze meets Merlin's makes Merlin flush hot and rush off, his insides in turmoil. The admirer gets older, leaving coriander, Gwen blushes, and hibiscus. Merlin suggests they hide behind the curtains and wait for the admirer to come again, but Gwen admonishes him. So they gather snowdrops from the palace gardens, and Merlin's heart races in anticipation whenever he returns to his chambers. Finally, one day, Merlin darts into his room, whistling off tune and hoping for a new banquet, only to stop short. For Prince Arthur is waiting there, arms crossed behind his back, and the strangest expression on his face. "Heart hammering?" Merlin asks. "What's wrong?" No flowers lie across his bed, he notices. Arthur's eyes dart to the bed, so quick Merlin almost thinks he imagined it. "Nothing at all," the prince says firmly. And just like that, he thrusts out to Merlin a banquet of roses, deep, true red, and a burning orange. Desire, passion, love even. Take them, you idiot! Merlin steps forward and slowly takes the roses. Their scent wafts up, so sweet. Somehow he isn't surprised, has always suspected. "And stop grinning like a buffoon," Arthur adds, seizing Merlin's head and catching his mouth in a bruising kiss. The end.